Look at Luke chapter 17, verse number 11. That's where we're going to start this morning. We're mostly going to be there, and then we're going to go to Leviticus, all right? So if you haven't been in the Old Testament lately, we'll spend some time there this morning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So that's the third book of the Bible in the Old Testament. And those will be the two main places we go this morning. Before I read this, I just want to share five things that wives and moms are generally thankful for. Guys, I want to say this just because if I don't say it, maybe nobody else will. So this is going to be important. Five things wives and moms are often thankful for. First one is this, automatic dishwashers, right? Here's why. They make it possible to get out of the kitchen before the family comes in for their after-dinner snacks. Keep things moving fast. Five things for wives and moms to be thankful for. Husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in the professionals and get it done right. Things to be thankful for. Children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. There's such a joy, you hate to see them go home to their own parents. Gardening. Moms and wives thankful for gardening. It's a relief to deal with dirt outside the house for a change. And then smoke alarms. They let you know when the turkey's done. Some things to be thankful for. Look at Luke chapter 17 and verse number 11. The Bible says this, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." We're going to stop there for just a moment. I'm going to pray. We'll start this message. Father, I pray that you would use the teaching of your word this morning, the preaching of your word, to create in us a thankful heart, a grateful heart. Help us to remember just how much we have to be thankful for. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who has not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would hear a clear presentation of the gospel, and I pray that they would be saved, and I pray that their life would be just totally changed because of that. Thank you for this opportunity to meet together. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an amazing story. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. As he's going to Jerusalem, the Bible says he passes by the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, if you remember, Samaria is the place where Jesus went, and he sat there on the well, and there was a lady there at the well, and she was a Samaritan woman. And if you remember, the disciples, this is a different story, but whenever Jesus was sitting there on the well with this woman from Samaria, the disciples looked at him and said, "Whoa, what's he doing talking to this woman? She's a Samaritan, she's a stranger, she's a foreigner." They didn't get along well. Jesus is going with his disciples in this story, Luke chapter 17. He's with his disciples. They're going to Jerusalem. On the way to Jerusalem, they go by Samaria. Samaria was looked down on by the Jews very often. They were a mixed race, and they were just despised. Often people would go around Samaria rather than going through Samaria. As he's on his way to Jerusalem, the Bible doesn't say which village it happens in, but as he goes into one village, there's these 10 men who are standing off to the side of the road. The reason they're standing off to the side of the road is because they had a terrible, terrible disease. That was the disease of leprosy. Now, make sure you don't get this confused with the cat, leopard, all right? This is not a leopard. There weren't 10 leopards sitting on the side of the road, 10 lepers. These are men. They have a disease. This disease is a disease that will slowly consume their body, just a little bit at a time. A lot of times they'll lose their fingers and have misformed hands and just not have hands. If you see pictures of people and leper colonies, I remember seeing pictures of people in a leper colony, and I believe it was in Nepal. And also I've seen pictures of people, leper colonies in the Philippines, I believe. Missionaries will go to those places and they'll share the gospel with them, and the lepers are kept in this colony because the disease is so infectious and the other people can get it, so they don't want it to be spread. So they're kept in this one spot. A leper will oftentimes they'll lose their fingers, they'll lose their nose and ears, and eventually it'll end up killing them. This is a terrible disease. Through the Old Testament and the Scripture, you have leprosy mentioned, and we're going to go see where God talks about a little bit there. But here's Jesus, and he's walking up to Jerusalem. He goes through this village, and as he enters this village, there's these 10 men who are all lepers. They're not allowed to come up close to where Jesus and his disciples are. They stand off to the side of the road, And they yell at him from a distance, not yelling at him because they're mad, but they're far enough away, they have to raise their voice. And as they raise their voice, they ask him to have mercy on them. Verse number 13, they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And then Jesus looks at them. He's been healing people. He has healed lame people. He's healed deaf people. He's healed blind people. In verse number 14, the Bible says, "When he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.'" He doesn't heal them. So many times when somebody would come to Jesus, he would heal them. He would spit on the ground and make clay and put it up over somebody's eyes and tell them to go wash in the pool and they would be healed. Or he would touch somebody and they would be healed. But in this case, he didn't heal them. The 10 men were standing off to the side of the road. Jesus was walking by. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus doesn't heal them. And he says, "I want you to go show yourselves to the priest." I don't know if it made sense to them, but I imagine they would have studied this. I imagine they would have known what was going on here because Jesus told them to go see the priest. They weren't supposed to go see the priest unless they were cleansed of their leprosy. Once a person, I'll show you in Leviticus here in just a minute, once a person was cleansed of leprosy, it was just an incredibly rare thing for it to ever happen, but if it ever did happen and they were healed of leprosy, then they could go to the priest and the priest would offer a sacrifice for them. But here Jesus didn't heal them. They're not cleansed. He just says, "Go show yourself to the priest." I don't know what could have been going through their minds thinking, What's he thinking? We're not cleansed. We came to you to be healed, and you didn't heal us, and now you're just sending us away to go see the priest. But the Bible says they left, and they walked, and as they went to see the priest, to show themselves to the priest, here's what they're going to do. Whenever a person who used to have leprosy got healed from the leprosy, he would show himself to the priest, and the priest would, kind of like a doctor, inspect his body and see if the leprosy was really gone. So as they're on their way to go show themselves to the priest, they're probably looking and seeing, "I'm not healed." Jesus can heal lame men, he can heal blind men, he can heal deaf men, but he hasn't healed me. And as they're walking to go to show themselves to the priest, the Bible says, on the way there, they were cleansed. There's probably some really good messages in that somewhere. But that's not where we're going with this morning. Can you imagine this? They're standing on the side of the road. They ask for mercy. Jesus doesn't heal them, but he says, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as the Bible says they walk, I believe it's in verse 14, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Can you picture this? I've often wondered, did Jesus do miracles, and the miracles in the Old Testament and the New Testament, did they happen slowly or were they instant? This one was pretty quick. As they're going to show themselves to the priest, I imagine they might have been looking at their hands on the way and saying, "I'm not healed. I can't show myself to the priest. He'll just say to leave because I'm still a leper." But as they're walking to show themselves to the priest, the Bible says they were healed. I don't exactly know what that looked like. But can you imagine these 10 men full of leprosy, all of a sudden not full of leprosy? Their sores that were bleeding and the infection that was coming out of them and all of a sudden stopped. I don't know if Jesus restored missing fingers or noses or ears or anything at that point. But we see that on the way there, they were cleansed. Wow. What an amazing thing. I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. Jesus didn't heal them, but he told them to go show themselves to the priest. And in Leviticus chapter 14, You've got the procedure that they're supposed to follow. And the reason I'm going to take some time to show that to you this morning is not so that you can just be really up on your Old Testament Hebrew law and all of that and procedures. I want you to see an amazing picture of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. He rose again and went, ascended up into heaven as God. And he offers a gift of forgiveness and cleansing, not physically, but spiritually. And I want you to see that picture. So it's in Leviticus now, chapter 14. So this is God giving the law to Moses. And he's specifically talking about if a leper is cleansed, this is what he's supposed to do. All right, so Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Okay, so that's why Jesus sent them to go see the priest. Verse 3. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look. And behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. So you following with me so far? If a leper was cleansed, he goes to the priest. He doesn't go into the town, but he's outside of the town. The Bible says the priest comes out of the camp or out of the tent city where they were. The priest comes out and he looks at him and he inspects him to see if he's cleansed. And if he really is cleansed, then the priest takes two birds. They're both live birds and clean birds. And he takes these two birds and he also takes hyssop and he takes cedar wood. And he takes these three things, here's what he does. Verse number 5. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed. There's a sacrifice that is happening here. One of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. The reason for that is that it's going to be a picture of something here in just a little bit. Look at verse number 6. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Whoa! What in the world is happening here? So if somebody in the Old Testament, this is back in Moses' day, Ten Commandments time, okay? If somebody had leprosy, but they were healed of their leprosy, they were supposed to go to the priest. And when they went to the priest would look at them and see if they were cleansed. And if they were cleansed, the priest would offer a sacrifice. We're not real familiar with sacrifices. In our culture, we don't do sacrifices. But that was a very normal thing for a Hebrew person to do in Israel. They would kill an animal, and that animal would be a sacrifice. It would be a blood sacrifice. We don't think of that kind of thing very much. We don't even think about processing our own meat very much, right? When we hear of blood, we're kind of like, ew, right? We get our meat from Walmart or Smith's or Sonic. You don't get your meat from Sonic? It's a great place to get meat, along with tater tots and jalapeno poppers. Oh, man. Okay. We're not used to the sacrifice. We're not used to the blood. I want you to understand that was something normal for them. Often they would offer a lamb for sacrifice or an ox for sacrifice. In this case, it was a bird. So the bird is taken, and the Bible says that the priest is supposed to take the bird, and he's supposed to put him in an earthen vessel, a clay pot. And in that clay pot is where he kills that bird. The bird bleeds in the clay pot, and the other bird is put into that and dipped into that clay, into the blood in that clay pot. And then that bird is released to go into the wild. The blood that is left there is sprinkled onto the leper to signify his cleansing. And I want you to see in that sacrifice, in that law, exactly what Jesus did for you. See, leprosy pictures sin. It pictures a sin that we can't heal ourselves of. I can't forgive my own sins. You can't forgive your own sins. There's nothing I can do about my sins. It's got to be something God does for me. So I am a sinner, just like those men were a leper. And the sacrifice is taking this bird, this clean bird, and killing it in an earthen vessel. See, God came to this earth and He became a man. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, in an earthen vessel. Do you realize that our bodies are made out of the same chemical composition as, you ready? Dirt. Jesus came. God lived in a body just like you and I have, a physical body. While He lived on this earth, He died. He died as a sacrifice for your sins. He died on the cross. He shed His blood to pay the price for your sins and my sins. That's why this picture is in here. And so the one bird is killed. Jesus did something that no sacrifice could do, so they needed two birds. See, Jesus died on the cross. He shed His blood, and the blood that Jesus shed for you is God's perfect divine blood, and that paid the price for your sins. But after Jesus was dead, He rose again 3 days later. The bird couldn't do that, so they had to have two birds. One bird was killed as a sacrifice in this earthen vessel. The second bird was put in to represent that bird coming back to life and now let go into an open field. You see in this story the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And just as much as these lepers could be cleansed, you can be cleansed. Your sins can be forgiven just as much as those lepers were cleansed. So Jesus told them, go back to Luke if you would, Luke 17. Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. As they were on their way to show themselves to the priest, the most amazing thing happened. All of a sudden, they were cleansed. I don't know how far they had to walk to show themselves to the priest. Jesus was on His way. He was going through Samaria. He was on His way up to Jerusalem. The priest would have been in Jerusalem. On their way to Jerusalem, they're cleansed. They're whole. Their fingers work again. They're not bleeding again. They don't have the oozing sores anymore. Now they are cleansed. So look at verse number 15. Luke chapter 17, verse number 15. There are 10 of them. They're going to show themselves to the priest because they've been healed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. 10 of them healed. 10 of them continued on to the city, but before one of them went to see the priest, he turned back. And the Bible says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down on his feet. He worshiped him and he thanked Jesus for what Jesus had done for him. And that's what this message is about. Lessons from a thankful leper. See, one leper responded differently than all the others. On his way to be cleansed, he didn't have to turn back, but the Bible says he turned back. I'm going to give you 4 quick lessons. I think I can give them to you pretty quick. The first thing he did was he turned back. And when something happens in your life that's important enough to you, you don't mind the inconvenience of turning back so that you can say thank you to whoever it was that gave that thing to you, in this case, God. You don't mind the inconvenience of thanking God. Sometimes it's inconvenient to show our thanks to God or to other people. But listen, we should make the effort because it's right to do. 9 lepers went on, didn't even stop to say thank you, but one of them turned back and took time. You know, saying thanks to people takes time. It takes effort. It's inconvenient sometimes to be thankful. But it's right to be thankful. Jesus said, weren't there 10 of them cleansed? But where are the 9? 9 of them didn't even stop to say thank you. I want to challenge you to realize whenever somebody does something for you, it's okay to be inconvenienced enough to say thank you. In this case, he turned back. Develop the character trait of writing thank you notes or somehow thanking somebody. Do it before the day's done. Or you're probably going to forget. I've forgotten to send thank you notes. I've forgotten to tell somebody thank you more times than I can tell you. And most of the time it's because I thought, you know, I can do that later. If you don't do it soon, you'll forget. Develop the character trait of being a thankful person. This leper, he had more important things to do. He really did. He needed to get to Jerusalem. He needed to show himself to the priest. But he turned back so that he could come back and say thank you. He was willing to deal with the inconvenience, determined to give God an offering of thanksgiving, to show Him that you're thankful. And an offering of thanksgiving, we say offering in church, and we think, oh no, he's talking about money again. I didn't write this down, and I didn't put this verse in here, but just this week in our family devotions, we saw, it was in Psalms, where God said, I would rather you give me an offering of praise than for you to bring a big old offering. In those days, they would have understood it, a big ox, and offer that as a burnt sacrifice. He said, I'd rather you give me an offering of praise, of thanksgiving with your lips. It's okay, and let's determine and to be a kind of person that thanks God for what He's done for us. Decide to stop what you're doing and thank God when you receive a blessing. It's just a character trait that we all have to develop. Just stop and thank God. Wherever you're at, just stop and thank God for what He's done for you. You know the song, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Just stopping once in a while and singing a song like that to God. God loves to hear you sing. In fact, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people. If you would just stop and sing a thank you song to God. We're singing some thankful songs today, tonight, Tuesday night, with songs about thanksgiving. You can stop and show God your thankfulness with an offering of song or maybe a sacrifice, maybe giving. After World War II, two families were waiting in line after church service to greet the pastor. The church was preparing to build a building at that time. And remember, this is after World War II. The first family in line said this, Pastor, as you know, our son was killed in the war, so we would like to give a $200 memorial gift to help with this building project. They went on. The second family stepped up and said, Pastor, we were going to give $200, but our son came home. We've decided that we're going to give $500. It's just a story, but whenever God does something in our lives, it's great to stop and say thank you. It's great to sing thank you, an offering of thanks, and it's great to give Him something, an offering of thanks, a sacrifice of some time. This leper, he turned back. It was inconvenient, but he turned back. And then the Bible says he glorified God with a loud voice. Let me ask you a question. Do you care what other people think so much that you don't thank God for what He's done for you? This ought to challenge us. When it's important enough to you, you don't mind what other people think. Let me challenge you to pray in public, to thank God in public for what He's done for you. Do you bow your head and pray for a meal at a restaurant? It's okay to sing praises to God in public. It's okay to say praise the Lord when a blessing comes, even when it's in public. You know, in an effort not to offend other people, we've almost stopped praising God publicly. But I want to encourage you. This Thanksgiving week, let me encourage you to be a person who thanks God publicly. You don't have to make a scene because it's really not about us. I'm not encouraging you to go out in public and make a scene so that people see you. But don't let the fact that other people are around stop you from saying, praise the Lord, or thank God whenever some kind of a blessing comes. Whenever you're checking out at Walmart, all right, and the person behind the little checkout stand says, oh, hey, I got a coupon. Let me just use my coupon for that. And do they even do that at Walmart? They do that at other places. And they run the coupon for you. And you don't have to pay for something full price. It's okay to say, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Or something like that. You don't have to be like the fourth grader who was careful writing his report on Thanksgiving so that nobody in his class would be offended. His teacher, you know, said, make sure you don't offend anybody with your report. So he said this, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom of you know what. When they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. Because of them, we can worship each Sunday you know where. We don't want to be guilty of that. Let's go ahead and thank God for what He's done in our lives. H.A. Ironside was a preacher 100 years ago or so. He was in a restaurant and he was about to begin his meal. A man approached him and asked him if he could join him. Ironside said, sure, have a seat. And as he always did, Ironside bowed his head and he prayed before he ate his meal. When he opened his eyes, the other man asked, do you have a headache? And Henry Ironside said, no, I don't. The other man asked, well, is there something wrong with your food? And H.A. Ironside said, no, I was simply thanking God as I always do before I eat. And the man said, oh, you're one of those, are you? Well, I want you to know, I never give thanks. I earn my money by the sweat of my brow, and I don't give thanks to anybody when I eat. I just start right in. And H.A. Ironside said, yes, I've got a dog just like that. Listen, when it's important enough to us, we don't mind what other people think. When you realize what God did for you, the salvation that God has given you, dying on the cross, paying the price for your sins, it's okay if somebody across the restaurant thinks, oh, he's probably a religious nut. That's fine. I just want to tell God thank you. It's okay. This leper, he turned back even though it was inconvenient, and he lifted up his voice even though other people were going to hear him. And the Bible says he fell down at the feet of Jesus. When it's important enough to us, we're humble in our response. Maybe we haven't humbled ourselves before Jesus because we haven't realized how important it is that he saved us. Are you humble? How important is it to you that Jesus saved you? Do you serve God as we taught in Sunday school this morning? Do you serve God willingly, sacrificially, with no thought of getting anything in return? That's the definition of love. Is that how we serve God? Or are we too concerned about what people are going to think about us? This man, he humbled himself. He bowed down at the feet of Jesus. When we're truly thankful for what God has done for us, we will serve him with a humble spirit. And then he thanked Jesus. He just came right out and thanked him, said thank you. When it's important enough to us, we remember to say thank you. Let me encourage you to use those two words and use them a lot. Thank you. Grateful hearts, people who don't expect a whole lot. We're grateful what God has done for us. We can be thankful people. We all ought to be very good at saying thank you. I heard about a family that went out for lunch, and after they ate their lunch, they wanted dessert. And the server brought pie and ice cream to a little boy. The little boy said, thank you. And the server said, oh, I just love to hear thank you. And the boy said, if you give me another scoop of ice cream, you'll hear it again. We have to be people to say thank you. I'm just telling you some silly stories along with these truths here, because I hope they stick. We have been so blessed. But listen, it's not because we deserve it. It's not because I'm such a good person and God has just blessed me because of me. No. And whenever you are blessed and you realize I don't deserve any of this, you can say to the person that was part of giving you the blessing, thank you. If it's God, you can say thank you. We just need to thank Him. Thank God for what He's done in your life. Thank God for what He's done in the lives of other people that you know. Thank God for who He is. I'm going to read you three verses from the book of Psalms. I'm going to read them quickly, and we're just about done, but I want you to listen to this. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Why does he say, I'm going to give thanks to God? Why? Because of who God is. Because of thy righteous judgments. God, this is who you are. I just want to thank you for who you are. Psalm 30, verse 4, the Bible says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Let's stop and give thanks. Thank God for what? For who He is. This is not about what He did for me or what He gave to me. It's just, God, thank you for who you are. You are a holy God. You are a God of righteous judgments. Psalm 107, verse 1, and many other verses in the Bible say something very similar to this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. It'd be so good to just stop and say, God, thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Over and over. In fact, as I can tell, that is the one thing that in the Bible is said thank you for more than any other thing. God, your mercy endures forever. God, your mercy, thank you for your mercy endures forever. Why is that a big deal? Because I'm a sinful person. I need God's mercy. We are all sinful people. Aren't you glad God didn't say, okay, I've got mercy for the first, 5,000 people that show up. Kind of like when you go to a baseball game. We've got prizes for the first 5,000. After that, we're out. No, God's mercy endureth forever. God's mercy wasn't just for the Old Testament. God's mercy isn't just for a certain group of people. God's mercy isn't for a certain race or people who were taught a certain way. God's mercy isn't just for people with high morals. God's mercy is for everybody. And the Bible says His mercy endureth forever. Let me encourage you this week to spend some time thanking God. Okay, this leper, he was on his way to be cleansed. On his way, he was cleansed. Here's what he did. He backtracked. How many of you hate backtracking? You got to go pick somebody up and you forget something at home, so you got to go back. Ugh. You got to go. How many times have I just skipped whatever it was I thought I needed because I just didn't want to go back to get it? I hate backtracking. But that's what he did. He backtracked. He covered ground he had already covered before. He's going to have to do it again. But it was worth it to him to stop and say thank you. Okay, so let's lessons from this. I want you to learn to say thank you to other people. Let's all be thankful people. Maybe it's writing a note. Maybe it's a text. Maybe it's an email. Maybe it's just saying it. Thank you. I just want to thank you. As the choir said that, I just want to thank you. To people, but to God. This week, would you set aside some time, and I'd suggest try to find every day, sometime during your day, maybe it's in the morning. That's what's worked for me. A time in your day where you just start your day by telling God, thank you. What do you thank you for? Well, first of all, thank Him for who He is. Thank you for being a holy God, a righteous God, a loving God. Thank you for your mercy. Thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He's done in your life. God has done so much in your life. Thank you for what He's done in other people's lives. Maybe you've prayed for somebody and an answer to prayer came through. Would you thank Him? Thank Him for what He's done. Thank God for the promises He's made. One leper turned back and thanked Jesus. He was willing to be inconvenienced. He didn't care what other people thought. He was humble. He told Jesus, thank you. Father, I pray that You would help us to be that kind of people. The kind of people that we realize we don't deserve anything good, but You have given us so much. Help us to be thankful. Lord, there's teenagers and kids in here today. Lord, I pray that You would help them to learn to be thankful. Thankful for their parents. Thankful to their parents. Lord, I pray that each young person in here today would learn how to say those words, thank you, and use them often. Lord, I pray each one of us, we would learn to be thankful. This morning, Lord, we saw a picture of Your death, burial, and resurrection. We saw a picture of You dying and shedding Your blood on the cross. We saw that while You were buried, You did rise again. Lord, if there's someone here this morning who has not yet accepted Your gift of forgiveness, trusted You to forgive their sins, Lord, I pray if there's someone like that this morning, that this morning they would do that. They would trust You as their Savior. They would accept Your free gift of eternal life and forgiveness.